Mornings with Nadia, broadcasting from Wadjuk Country on ABC Radio Perth.
It is 6 minutes past 10. The idea of banning greyhound racing is not a new one, and it's something that animal welfare groups have been campaigning for. Have been campaigning on for many years. Now, their view is that greyhound racing is an inhumane sport and that it needs to end. But you might be surprised to find out just how much support a ban in WA is now getting. Melissa Harrison is the president of Free the Hounds, and they have a petition going to State Parliament next week. And Melissa's with me. Good morning.
Hi, how are you going, Nadia?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Now, Melissa, how many signatures have you got on your e-petition?
On our e-petition, we ended up with 13,450. So we were pretty pleased with that. But we still have a paper petition going around, and we've got about 3,500 on that currently.
Are these kind of numbers what you expected, or more than you thought you'd get?
Honestly, we thought we'd get more, being that we had an e-petition. But being that e-petitions have only been allowed this year for the first time in Western Australia, trying to get the word out there was very difficult. I mean, it is a political debate, this one. So sadly, a lot of people won't touch it. Other rescues won't necessarily help for fear of, you know, not getting funding or not being helped further. So we struggle to get the word out there.
Okay, a bit of context. So, and as I understand it, this is the highest number of signatures on an e-petition since they were permitted from the 1st of January this year. What do you think the public sentiment is? It's interesting you say that there are welfare organisations that don't want to be associated with this. Is the public sentiment changing?
Absolutely. I mean, if you speak to people individually, they 100% want it gone. I mean, there are more pet greyhounds now in Western Australia than there are racing greyhounds. And I think that's the big key here is the racing industry expects the public to take them on after their racing career to keep the social license of greyhound racing going. Because if the public weren't prepared to take them on as
greyhounds. Melissa, we just lost you there. Maybe just take a step to the left or right.
Is that okay?
I've got you back, but I might just have to get you to repeat what you said because you did drop out.
Because the racing industry expect the public to take on the rescued greyhounds once they're done, the public feel that they have much more of a say in what is going on prior to them taking these dogs. So I think that's a big difference now, is because there's so many of them in the public, so many more people are aware of what happens to them while they race.
You're listening to Melissa Harrison, the president of Free the Hounds, which is a greyhound welfare advocacy group in WA, calling for a complete ban on greyhound racing. She's going to talk you through how that would work in just a moment, because they've got a pretty detailed plan, I've got to say. I am keen to know if you agree with this idea. Should greyhound racing be banned, or should it be allowed to continue? And if so, should changes be made? I'm interested to know what you think. 1300 222 720. Just for those who are not familiar with this conversation, what is your key concern with greyhound racing? Why can't it be modified? Why does it have to stop completely in your view?
Because you're never going to stop injuries of racing greyhounds. And right now with the animal homing crisis in Perth, there's just not space for all these dogs to go to. When you include other breeds that are screaming out for homes, they're just being overbred here. And the racing industry has just increased the breeding bonus here in WA by 20%. So you don't even have to live in WA to own a greyhound to get that bonus. As long as the dog is born here and races here, in particular races, it receives a bonus payment. So then it's left to WA citizens or the community to take on afterwards. We're just going to run out of space, and we're going to go back to having to euthanise them at the end of the racing time.
Are there enough people at the moment that would take them on? And what is the nature of the greyhounds that you rehome? Just, you know, what's their personality like and their temperament?
Oh, once they've de-stressed, if you like, or gotten used to pet life after a few months, they are the most fabulous dog. They just really shouldn't be used for racing. They love to run. They don't love to race. They are gorgeous dogs. A lot of them come in with a lot of issues. You know, they're not socialised necessarily properly as pups. Many of them don't meet other breeds until they're much older or come out of racing. I have one that's very other breed reactive. She's so fearful of other dogs. Yet lives with three cats. So it depends. A lot of them have injuries. Osteosarcoma is sadly a major cancer that we seem to be finding more and more prevalent in greyhounds now. And because they've never lived as long as they are now in WA, there's really no history on that. And if we can find a way to maybe breed that out, but racing just looks at their race quality and their temperament and how fast they're going to do on the track, not the longevity of the dog, you know, living to be as a pet for, you know, another 10 years after they may have finished in racing. And it's the community that's having to pick up all those pieces, regardless of how they get out into the community, whether it's a trainer that rehomes them or GAP or a community rescue. At the end of the day, mum and dad, families out there are the ones that are going to take it on.
And a couple of people were texting in saying, why is it cruel? Just to be clear, it's the injuries that your yeah, argument is absolutely. You'll never get rid of the injuries.
You won't. Straight tracks, the injuries still occur. Round tracks that we have right now, they still occur. And these dogs can have just as much of a life, clearly, because those that never make the grade are rehomed as pets anyway. So the racing industry, there's plenty that come out never been raced because they aren't making the money on the track. So obviously the industry is happy for them and believes that they can live happily as pets without ever having to have a racing career.
But Racing and Wagering tells us 99.8% of greyhound starters do not have any major injuries.
That's right. If you're talking about starters, that's not individual dogs. You've got dogs that have 3, 4, 5 injuries. We've had one recently that's been stood down 3 races in a row for different lengths of time because of injuries. So, and no, they don't all have major injuries. That's right. And RAWA have done a wonderful job with the Greyhound Injury Full Recovery Scheme, where they take on the dog, they rehabilitate it, you know, take it through the surgeries that they have to have and then find it a home. But again, if those injuries present themselves again later on as arthritis or other things or rejection of plates and things that are put in, it's the owner, it's the community person that has to take that on. RAWA are not coming back and looking after the dog for the rest of their life.
Right. It's the person that gives it the new home.
Home, exactly.
What is your plan? Your exit plan is quite specific. How do you propose you would exit the industry?
Well, firstly, take it out of the TAB because that's the biggest sticking point with government at the moment. They won't remove the code because of the sale that's about to happen, even though we're bringing in simulated greyhound racing. So that'll be available in TAB shops and TAB pubs as of, you know, probably early next year. We want any participants to be reskilled, but there's only about probably 20 people that actually claim or say that they earn an income off of this. The other 1,000 people that are involved are all hobbyists. So under that, you know, we assume that they already have jobs. So there's, you know, and the people that are working for the WA Greyhound Racing Association are actually already employed by the government. So the government has a huge issue with, you know, workforce at the moment. They need, we're screaming out for people. Reskill them. It's over 2 years. We're not asking for it to finish tomorrow. First up, we would stop breeding or put a moratorium on it for a time, stop all the imports of dogs from the eastern states. So that then obviously reduces the pool that we have here to rehome. But the fact is the community are rehoming them anyway, but in a much more sporadic way right now. If we can do it over a 2-year phase out and it's done easily in a format, then we'll rehome them. You know, on the East Coast now, they're sending them to the US because they can't find homes for them.
Melissa Harrison's president of Free the Hounds. I'm going to go to your calls in just a moment, so please stay there, Rob and Margaret. 1300 222 720 is the number. You did get a meeting with the Racing and Gaming Minister, Tony Booty, last week. Any support from the government there?
No, they won't look at it. They won't look at ending it because of the sale of the TAB. It has to be, a full thing. And sadly, Minister Booty brought up the fact that, you know, Mark McGowan got 62,500 signatures for his Animal Welfare Act review back in 2000. But he was an MP at the time and had a lot more resources than we did. And that's over any type of animal. You know, we're a group of volunteers. We all have full-time jobs. We have families. We're doing this purely for the greyhounds. So I don't think it's fair of him to make that comparison. But, yeah, you know, we'll just keep doing what we need to do. There needs to be something done about it.
And then I get this text says, look, I'm no lover of dog racing, but I've never seen a greyhound carry a jockey or pull a buggy. I mean, they're making the comparison there to horse racing. I mean, is it the lesser of two evils in your view?
What, greyhounds?
Yeah.
I would say that because harness and thoroughbred have humans on their backs, the humans would take more care. I mean, a dog died 2 weeks ago at Cannington from hitting the rail. It didn't even get up again. It died instantly on impact. Another one the week later was put down because of it. And Racing and Wagering won't put this footage on their website because it's too graphic or too harmful to the people that are involved in it. Yet it's shown as a family, it's publicised as a family-friendly community event, and it's not.
We'll leave it there. Lots of people want to talk about this, and I appreciate your time. Melissa Harrison there, she's president of WA's Free the Hounds. We did request an interview, incidentally, with Racing and Wagering, but they would only give us a statement. Lots of support from Melissa on the text line, I've got to say, and some of you saying, well, Julie, greyhound racing and horse racing both need to stop. Rick says, I didn't know about a petition. I would have signed it. Yes, I'm in favour of banning. This listener says the same thing. Had I known of this e-petition, I definitely would have signed it. Wendy wants to ban it. Kent says too many losing dogs were disposed of before. You can't tell me this won't reoccur. We've done quite well without it. Let's keep it that way. It's a relic of a less humane era, says this listener. And this is from a vet, Chloe. As a vet, I see people becoming disillusioned with rehomed greyhounds due to the behavioural issues attributed to their lack of socialisation. It will be hard to convince people to keep rehoming more dogs with behavioural issues that are no fault of their own, but they are hard work to manage. Thank you very much for that, Chloe. Let's go to your calls. Rob does not agree with those texts or with Melissa. G'day, Rob.
Yep, how are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, Rob. Are you in the industry?
I am in the industry, yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to know what you think of what Melissa's been saying this morning.
Well, I think it's a lot of misinformation, really, and out there, you know, speaking to the public, providing them with a lot of untruths and misinformation about the industry.
What's the misinformation, Rob? What are you talking about specifically? I mean, dogs do get injured, dogs do die. You don't discount that, do you? You don't.
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of sports all over the world where, you know, unfortunately, bad things happen. But these dogs are looked after and cared for like they're royalty. You know, the trainers do a fantastic job. The care and welfare of their animals. Rawa do a fantastic job with their rehoming, you know, track surfaces, conditions, trying to keep everything, you know, the best they can keep it. It's the most highly governed dogs, basically, in the world. They're just so well looked after. And when we have people out there providing other people that they want to sign these petitions, and they're giving them information that's not true, is, you know, really disheartening to the participants in the industry.
But what's not true, though, Rob? I mean, we know that injuries occur. We know that deaths occur. That's their main reason for wanting to ban the industry. And then we're getting people, including vets, saying, look, they do have behavioural issues and they can be hard to manage because of their lack of socialisation when they are rehomed.
Well, yeah, I find that hard to cop. My greyhounds are very social. I've got one following me around the backyard now.
Yep.
And, yeah, look, that's not true. They're talking about stuff that they don't know about. Bring these people to, you know, some of the properties and let them see exactly what really goes on with these greyhounds. They love what they do, these greyhounds. Unfortunately, in every sport, I know there's a statistic that there's over 200,000 junior sport participants in Australia that are hospitalised every year due to injury. If you play sport, you get injured. We have footballers do hamstrings, calves, knees, all that every week. But, you know, no one's out there saying, oh, let's ban AFL football.
No, but you don't. If a child breaks a leg, you don't put it down like you have to do with a horse, for instance, or a dog. It's a bit different, isn't it?
These dogs are getting rehabilitated.
Okay, Rob, no, I appreciate your thoughts. Rob, heavily involved in the greyhound industry, and I wonder what you've heard both sides of it. And we did ask, I've got to say, to speak to Racing and Wagering. They did very politely decline an interview. Now you've heard Rob's take. He is involved in the industry. Is he speaking sense, or is Melissa Harrison speaking sense? You tell me what side you're on. Now, racing and wagering did give me a statement from the head of animal welfare, Dr. Anna Smet. They say they contribute $146 million a year to the state economy, the industry, the racing industry. So it does have a social, community and economic benefit, they say, to WA. Involves more than 2,000 people. It's pretty big, actually. 30 times that number go along to the races each year. But what the facts and figures really show is the interest and significance the dogs have for many people. And that's why Racing and Wagering is committed to the highest quality care for greyhounds and the continuous evolution and elevation of welfare standards. Let's go back to your calls. Margaret, your thoughts?
Hi, Nadia. It's Margaret.
Yes. Hi, Margaret. What did you want to say?
Just with regards to greyhound racing, I actually live across the road from one of these owner trainers. He's got six dogs, supposedly approved by the Shire. We live on 5 acres, by the way.
Yep.
They're locked in a shed 23 and a half hours every day.
How do you know that? You've seen
that? We look onto his property.
Right.
We look out. We have dealt with the Shire for 4 years about this. We spoke to the ranger. We've dealt with the Shire. There's a whole different set of rules for greyhound owners than ordinary dog owners.
Yes, there
is. As I said, we're on 5 acres. We're allowed two dogs. He's got six. These dogs come out 10 minutes a day, if they're lucky, on a lead, walk the same circle, back in the shed. It's awful to watch.
Margaret, thank you for that. I mean, that makes me feel very uncomfortable if that dog is sitting in a shed for 23 and a half hours a day. Rob was comparing the injuries that greyhounds get in their sport to the injuries that kids get in their sport. For instance, he quoted a figure of 200,000 injuries a year, which may well be the case. I don't know. I'll try and find out for sure. The point you're making in response to that is that it's the human's choice, not the animal's choice, to race. Greyhound racing is not a sport. Football players, says Michelle, choose to participate in their chosen sport. Dogs do not. So, yes, a pretty significant difference there. Hello, Kate. Kate, hello.
Oh, hello, Nadia.
What did you want to say?
I'm in Victoria, but I listen to Perth all the time.
Thank you.
Nadia, we adopted a greyhound about 3 years ago from Victoria. It was a day when they were free because they had so many dogs they couldn't get them all adopted. It was a real problem. She came home and she was so timid. Like the lady said, I think this dog had been locked up for 23 hours a day. Even after 3 years, she'll still go and virtually hide in one of the back bedrooms where her bed is. That's what she likes. And she is now starting to come out and run around the property. We've got 10 acres with us.
Mm-hmm.
But we had to get a dog trainer in to virtually retrain this dog to be able to live as we think a normal dog should. And that cost us over $400.
Yeah.
But it had to be done because they're not training them or socialising them before they let them out for adoption.
A lot of people saying the same thing on the text line, Kate. Lovely to talk to you. And thank you for listening to us in Victoria. Elle, your thoughts? Hi, Elle.
Oh, hi, Nadia. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Elle. What did you want to say?
I just want to respond to Rob comparing greyhound injuries to injuries of kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Australian athletes and Australian kids don't get euthanized for broken bones and for broken wrists. It's just not a realistic comparison. And they say, you know, one owner can have a few dogs and they might keep one after their racing careers are finished, but they dump the majority of them onto the public when they're no longer making money. So it's just, I don't think those comments are correct that he's saying. It's just a lot of rhetoric.
It felt like he was comparing apples with oranges. Elle, thank you very much. 25 past 10 on ABC Radio Perth. Pat in Carlisle says, my Maltese was mauled by two greyhounds in a dog park. They mistook my dog for a racing bait, I believe. The owner had no comment. Ban it. This listener says, I have a foster greyhound with complications from a past racing injury. I'm driving to the vet an hour away twice a week for dressing changes. I pay for the fuel. I take time off work. It is very difficult emotionally and financially. John, as they are conditioned to chase and catch moving things, they pose a risk to lizards. I monitor lizards in their retirement. I've seen a whole population in the vicinity of a semi-rural property in the southwest vanish. And this listener says this is all about money for the participants. Look, it's a really interesting one. For those asking, there was an e-petition that's being sent to Parliament. It closed on Monday, so I know a lot of you are asking about it. We've been told that it closed on Monday and that it will be presented. They got just shy of 13,500 signatures on that e-petition.
Earlier in the question,